Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, everyone, shut up and look at me.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
The less I know about other people's affairs, the happier I am. I'm not interested in caring about people.
Isaac Rob.
I once worked with a guy for 3 years and never learned his name. Best friend I ever had. We still never talk sometimes.
Jason Sukanik.
I also think it's pointless for a human to paint scenes of nature when they could just go outside and stand in it.
Primetime on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080.
Please do not misinterpret the fact that I am talking right now as genuine interest. End of speech.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy!
What up? Good Tuesday. How you guys doing out there?
Just watching Dan Orlovsky rip the Ravens apart.
In Radio Land.
The yeah. Round Table. We got some sort of new show.
Oh, I don't know.
The Round Table. I have no idea, by the way. Like, ESPN programming, it's all just... I have no idea what's on anymore. You just look up and you're like, oh, it's Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, it's
oh.
Kind of confusing, isn't it?
Is there really
There's no, like...
It's just
I mean, do
there.
The shows just rotate the same people?
I feel like it.
And they kind of talk about the same things?
Yes.
And that's really... It's except for Wilbon there. And Kornheiser.
Are they?
Oh yeah, they're still on.
Are they still on? They still doing the?
Of course.
They still do PTI every day. Oh, Monday through Friday.
What ended the? It wasn't PTI.
Around the Hornet.
Yeah, around the Hornet. That's right.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, there's that.
What's everybody doing?
I'm sportsing, baby.
We got a big baseball night.
Do you have a big baseball night?
What, yeah, clinchable for the Mariners.
Six games left, right? I think pretty much everybody at this point, six, seven games left.
Two, three-game series.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go. We got Reds, Mets.
God.
Reds get the Pirates. Mets get the, what do you guys got? You guys got the, you're at Wrigley.
I am absolutely sweating freaking bullets.
And what's Wrigley's the status? Good. You're tied for the third and final wild card spot, is that it?
Reds and Mets are tied.
And more importantly, the Reds have the tiebreaker. So the Mets no longer control their own destiny. And it's sad is like, 3 weeks ago, I got a buddy of mine, Scott, that we just... Everyone needs a friend that, like, shares your love/hate with your favorite team. And I texted him in the midst of the Philadelphia and Texas sweep. And I said, they're not going to make the postseason, are they? And he's, like, super positive. He's tried to be super positive, and he goes, absolutely not. He goes, we're going to get swept by the Marlins to end the season and miss it by one game. And I was like, you son of a bitch. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. The Mets will do something. They'll take like two or three against Chicago, and they'll be like one game up and be like, all right, all you got to do is beat the Marlins, and they'll get swept by the Marlins and won't make the postseason in the last game. And will now be the most expensive team in Major League Baseball history to not make the postseason.
Marlins are hot.
Just.
Did you know that?
The Marlins.
I think, yeah, isn't it like they've won 10 of 11?
Yeah,
something like that?
They're hot.
I'm telling you.
You better watch out.
Look out for the fish.
I've already told you they're going to get swept by the Marlins and not make the postseason. I've accepted the fate already.
And looking here, the Marlins. Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Marlins are in this.
The Marlins are in this?
They are.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't think they're mathematically eliminated.
The Marlins are in this. Stop it.
They've won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a row, then 10 of 11.
They're four back with six to play.
Hey, they're in it. Yeah. They've got them right where they want them.
Just like the Giants and the Cards and all that.
Well, they're alive.
The only question about the Mariners now is, can the Mariners catch, or the Mariners going to be the two or the one?
Are they?
I mean, dude, they're making the postseason. I mean, that's a done deal.
I hope so.
They're not collapsing like this.
So. I hope you're right about that. That would be bad. We'd have to listen to all the Mariner fans.
Oh God!
For another year, well,
that would be.
They just let's get them.
No one deserves.
Can we get them a title, or at least a World Series? Get them into the World Series. Get them to shut up a little bit.
Never been, but it certainly feels it. I mean, now you're seeing the national conversation be: Are the Mariners the best team in the American League? And a lot of people are saying yes.
A lot of people.
Now, National League. Still where most people believe that the champ is going to come from. But still, you know, the fact that we're having those conversations about the Mariners, that's fun.
A lot of people.
Yep.
Well, they were that in 2001, definitively.
116 games.
And what ended up happening?
Well, a lot of times the team with the best record, but they're not going to have the best record. I mean.
Well, it's not just the best record. They were the best team.
Yeah.
In 2001, and what happened again?
Dude, I've seen...
Did they lose in the second round? Lost in the second round to the Yankees,
got them, right? Mm. If I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I don't know, dude, but it hasn't been much of... there hasn't been much to smile about since.
Was it the Twins?
No, I think it was the Yankees.
I thought it was the Twins that got them. They beat the Twins then, maybe?
Yeah, I think that might be right.
I'll take a look.
Yeah. Our research department's on it.
Research department of the 2001 postseason.
They were awesome that year. John Olerud.
They were awesome that year. Yeah, the Mariners took care of the Tribe.
And then the Tribe.
The Tribe. And then the Yankees got them. And that was the D-back series where Gonzo had the walk-off against Mo Rivera. Mm. So, yes, the Yankees got them.
But the Mariners were the best team, so you know you just gotta play good baseball.
I have seen,
and I
so
tell you
many...
what, the Mariners are playing some really damn good baseball.
And
right
that's
now.
The thing.
That is.
How
the
many
thing.
Times have we seen like the St. Louis Cardinals or someone just ass backwards their way into the postseason, and all of a sudden they get hot and they just have that look, and the Mariners have that look right now, dude. They're red hot. Yeah, it's on paper.
And here comes a sweep at the hands of the Rockies. There's no chance. Like, what would you bet on the series outcome in this?
There's just no way.
The Rockies
have to take two or three? That ain't happening.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just not happening, right? I mean, they're a minor league team. They don't even have major leaguers up.
It is not.
And they're resting on their laurels now that they're officially not the worst ever. Because they have, like, they started so poorly they were going to rival the White Sox for that new record of worst team ever. Now they're good. They're just coasting into loserhood because they're not going to be the worst ever.
Dude, there's zero chance that the Rockies take this series.
Mm. And they got I would like you to mark that just in case, please.
They got a three-game lead in the division and the tiebreaker with six to play. I mean, they're winning the division. The only question becomes...
Who the Astros got?
Are they the one, the two, or the three?
The Astros are in Sacramento. Playing in a minor league stadium.
Oh, the A's.
Playing the mighty A's.
All right. So the Astros get the A's and the Mariners get the Rockies.
Yeah. A's can hit a little bit.
And then the M's finish with the Dodgers, who may or may not have something to play for. And then the Astros, I believe, finish with the A's. Like they're
no,
staying.
They're playing the A's right now.
Or excuse me, the Angels. They got the A's, then the Angels to finish it off.
Yeah. Well, it's a big news day, big sportsy news day, guys.
Yeah, it is.
You've seen what's going on out there. But
he's a man, and now he's looking for a job.
Yeah, the 40-year-old man is unemployed.
Yeah.
John Mateer is out.
I'm a man!
I told you they were going to do the mutually parting of ways. I thought that would happen at the end.
They fired him, though. What the AD said was they gave him... By the way, Mike Gundy is
Mike
who we're talking about, and he has been fired at Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
They said that they gave him the opportunity to retire and... finish out the season, and he said no. he wanted to get paid out.
Yeah.
That's the only difference is that dude. Yeah. So there's a lot of these coaches that have been, they don't like the new age college football and NIL. And
no.
Gundy hates it.
Yes.
So he just basically is like, fine, I'll just not participate and be all defiant and
it's
have my
quiet quitting.
Have my my permed mullet over on the sideline doing bits. Take my shirt off from time to time. Hopefully you fire me and I get paid my buyout.
Today we're the ball.
At least the others retired, like Saban retired and
$15 million I think was coming his way.
This guy's like screw it, I'll because he hates Oklahoma State, right? Like I mean I know he loves to coach and he probably loves his players, but hasn't he always fought with the university?
Well, he always
kinda, yeah.
He is Oklahoma State. He played there. He coached there. He has spent over half his life in some shape or form at Oklahoma State. So to say you can't say that he hates Oklahoma State. He always used leverage to get more money. I'll say this. For a guy that seemingly hates the NIL world, no one has used false rumors and kind of innuendo to get more money than Mike Gundy. So, and that's that always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But no, dude, that guy is Oklahoma State. And there'll be some weirdness here. But at the end of the day, Mike Gundy is the most famous thing to come out of Oklahoma State. One of his wiener kids said this, you know, in a rant a week or two ago.
Gage Gundy. Or maybe that was Gunner Gundy. I don't remember.
It was one of the G's. He said, Oklahoma State football is Mike Gundy, and Mike Gundy is Oklahoma State football. And that's true. But this is,
but he's had a lot of dust-ups with them.
Yes.
I mean, he may not hate them, but he's not bending over backwards to do them any favors.
No, he is
like,
not.
He's not. He doesn't want to make this look nice and clean.
No, and I'm a little surprised because I knew that they were going to do the let's mutually part ways, and they actually tried to do the... Because the original statement was that they, I think it was from On Three, said they'd mutually parted ways. And then I liked that Mike Gundy was like, no.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
I didn't want to leave.
They even tried to, like, release. Oklahoma State tried to spin it, and Gundy was like, no, dude.
He didn't want, he said, I don't want to retire.
Yes.
And then the next day, they fired him. So they asked him to retire.
He said no.
And he said no. So he's not.
He could have had the rest of the season, to your point.
Exactly.
And he's like,
but no. He wants his monies. Yeah. And he didn't care about Oklahoma. I don't think he gives a rip about Oklahoma State. At any rate, he's out.
But it's, you know, it never ends.
Oregon killed him.
Yes, that game was, well.
I was thinking about this today. If Oregon only wins that game 45-3 instead of 69-3, are we having a different conversation today?
Probably not, because
he just lost to Tulsa.
I know. That was the nail in the coffin, was Tulsa.
I'll tell you what. There was no coming back from 69-3. I'll tell you, because... He has quit. The team's not any good. But if it's not 69-3, let's say it's the Civil War. 41-7, right? Civil War. I think he maybe gets to like Houston or Cincinnati before someone has that conversation. But when you follow 69-3 with losing 19-12 at home to Tulsa, and to be fair, Oklahoma State didn't try to fire him. They said, look, we'll give you the year, and then you step down. The only reason he's fired right now, to Rob's point, is he said, screw you. If you're gonna fire me at the end of the year, you fire my ass now and give me the... It's like going to work and then being like, hey, we're going to fire you at the end of the week. And you're like, no. You don't fire me at the end of the week. You fire my ass now because I'm not showing up. And to be honest with you, he hasn't been showing up. I mean, that team has rolled over and quit.
All right, well, but we'll have more on that coming up.
But think about it. From Bobby Bowden to Joe Paterno to Tom Landry, dude, there's very few guys.
He's synonymous with Oklahoma State University Athletics.
Bill Belichick? I'm trying to think of guys that got to go out on their own term. Bill Snyder got forced out at Kansas State. There's very, very few people that get to pull a John Elway, tip the cap, and walk away. Tom Brady was forced out. Joe Montana was forced out. Emmitt Smith was forced out. Willie Mays was forced out. And you can go, and then that's players. You can go on all the different coaches. I mean, you can count on one hand the people that actually got to go out with their head held high and said, I'm doing it my way. And if you thought Mike Gundy was going to be the exception to that rule, no.
Well, he says he doesn't want to retire, so... He's 58.
Where were you going to go? I mean,
UCLA, baby.
I'm sure there's a lot of schools that would hire him. Like, he's a good coach.
I would.
But he's not really embracing the new age college football, which is the problem.
The game has passed him by.
All right, we'll get more on that coming up, but let's go to the NFL today.
My fighting Dan Campbell's.
Yeah, they looked great. They looked great last night.
After week one, everyone was like, oh, it was the demise of the fighting Dan's.
That's right. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Yeah,
they bought two of them now, week to week.
They bought them.
They bought them and then they bit them.
And it only took three games. Russell Wilson officially benched today. So we'll get to those items coming up next in our NFL today on The Fan. Well, in honor of our fearless leader's comment there, nothing bad can happen, only good can happen. What did he say?
Nothing bad can happen, it can only good happen.
Yeah.
I like it.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
You're damn right.
Got a lot of friends. They're fat.
I will be sending that to at least three separate friends, by the way.
When it comes to reviewing field goals, nothing bad can happen. Only good happen.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
I was.
Why can't they review that?
I guess they're saying because it's almost impossible to... there's nothing definitive. So in order for something to be flipped, there has to be definitive evidence. And I guess according to the NFL, there's no such thing as definitive evidence. It's all subjective. So I had no idea, because that certainly looked like he missed that. If you don't know, by the way, we're talking yesterday, there was a kick in the Lions-Ravens game that certainly appeared to be a missed kick. And they kind of addressed it on the broadcast and then were like, they can't review it because there's no way to tell. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, the best view is the official right under it.
Yeah.
But why can't they put a camera under there?
I don't know.
Or but lasers. If you can do the first downs, why can't you do the...
Well, yeah, we have so much technology now.
But you would think, what would a laser do? Because it's still only part of the ball. Like it's
Well, if
but don't they do that in tennis?
If there's a letter of the law of like where the ball has to be, whether it has to be fully inside the innermost part of the upright, like you could be able to tell that.
I don't think that's the way that I don't think you can build a laser the exact thickness of
the goal. Well, they should try.
I think we it's like the whole chip technology. I think
everything's computer.
We put too much faith in computer when it comes to these sorts of things. Because I think the idea is that even if you're looking straight up, and this happens all the time. My daughter asked me this weekend. I forget what game we were watching, but she happened to be sitting down and she goes, "That was good." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's hard because of the angle." And I said, and this was before the Lions-Ravens game. We just had this conversation. I said, dude, sometimes it is almost impossible to tell, especially with weird vantage points. So I guess they're saying that the official looks up, and as long as he thinks it looks good, he calls it, and then that's it. No replay. Did you think it went in?
No.
Yeah.
But then they showed the replay, and I was like, okay.
And I guess they said it's like there's maybe only a certain percentage of the ball that has to cross inside the...
Yeah. Right. It only just has to... Like, if you're going straight, so I guess, what is the rule? The rule is that the goalposts extend straight up in perpetuity, right?
Yes.
So if the ball is over the goalpost,
yes.
it only has to nip it, much like a tennis shot being in, it only has to, one little sliver of the ball has to touch that sort of...
I think that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
There was some, I think they said there was some portion, they said like half the ball or... I'll actually look at the actual
rule. Half the ball?
That was a weird thing. I consider myself a bit of I watch a lot of football. I pay attention.
My guess is they say half because if you were to hit it lower down, if you got half inside, you might knock it in off the upright, and that's their way of compensating for that.
Yeah, there was like a, they were saying that there was like a percentage of the ball that has to be within the inside of the thing, and I was like, oh my God.
Well, that's insane. Like, how could they even... If you're saying you can't review it because it's not exact, how the hell can you be exact on that?
I don't know.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Or how about this? Can't we just have, according to Buck, we just got the lasers, right? So instead of doing that, how about
sharks
this?
Sharks with freaking laser beams.
When we're getting ready to kick, we press a button and the goalpost double in size.
Yeah, telescoping goalposts.
Except when the wind blows, that'd be the most chaotic thing in the world. It's just
but they'd be down most of the time. Well, it's like landing gear; it only deploys when you need it.
In domes, why can't you just extend them all the way to the roof?
Yeah, there you go,
all the way to the ceiling. Visibility, probably.
You could do a fun bit with firefighters, just
put them all
sliding down from the rafters.
Rappel. Yeah,
isn't that great?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the exact rule, but last night when they were explaining it was very confusing to me, but we all learned something in real time.
It didn't matter.
We all learned that there is no review.
There are reviews of other field goal issues.
But not this.
But not up at the top, if it goes over.
If it goes over, that is at the sole discretion of the little dude at the bottom looking straight up, and that guy is God, and he cannot be overruled. It does seem like of all the things that are reviewable, I would think that should be reviewable, but I was like, as they were explaining that, I thought to myself, oh yeah, I can't believe none of those things have ever been reviewed. And I was like, I can't think of one.
If a ball hits the crossbar or like, they don't know if it, maybe it's bad weather and nobody could see that did it cross, whatever, you can review that.
Yes.
But you can't review it if it's over the top of the goalpost. Okay. Well, it didn't matter because the Ravens lost. Have you ever been less worried about a 1-2 team than the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, it is interesting that the moment that happened and they lost last night, and I was tweeting about my fighting Dan Campbell's because I freaking love that man. Someone put out a little logo that said the battle next week to not be 1-3. And the Chiefs and Ravens play, one of those teams is going to 1-3, and you're kind of like, yee. And of those teams, if you said which one I'm more worried about, it's Kansas City. I'm more worried about Kansas City than I am Baltimore.
I mean,
but
I don't know that I would be worried too much about Baltimore. Although they didn't, I mean, Detroit played absolutely great.
And Detroit last night. And Detroit, like, we forget Detroit won 14 games last year.
15, I think.
15-2.
15-2. Yeah. 15-2. And, you know, this idea that they lost both coordinators and then therefore this team sucks and they had the bad week against the Packers. And we like, dude, the Lions are really good and they do that to a lot of teams. But I think the idea that Lamar got contained last night, the three Derrick Henry fumbles in three games, and the fact that I think the Ravens have now tied for the most points given up in the three games, I think that is the part where it's concerning.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not too worried about them. That was a fluke at Buffalo, and they just got beat.
Yeah.
And I fully expect them to beat Kansas City.
Yeah. It is interesting that, right, they absolutely housed the Browns, who just beat the Packers. And the Bills game, I mean, that's a one play, right? That's a sliver.
And then the Lions just beat them.
And the Lions just beat them.
They weren't ready for Detroit. By the way, Lamar's body language last night, I thought,
yeah,
very poor.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him like that in a while.
I think the Lions were...
They really frustrated.
He is not used to that.
Also, Derrick Henry online, too. Did you see that tantrum he had?
Yeah. Well, he's pissed, man.
Like a little child.
I mean, three fumbles, three games. And by the way, two of those fumbles were killers.
Yeah.
I mean, they were... You know, those are...
Does he have a fumbling problem now?
He never has before.
No, I think they said
but
that
does he now?
He had fumbled three times in his last 25 games combined or
no,
something.
No, he doesn't fumble, no, but he has now fumbled three times in three games.
He has.
Does he have a fumbling problem?
Yes.
I think he does.
You do three in a row, and then I will say this, and you've seen this across the NFL, we are living in a heyday of fisting the ball. Because, and by the way, both of... now, I didn't see the third one.
That sounds terrible. Your balls jiggling? Oh.
Two of his fumbles have been on the punch out.
Yeah.
And I don't, and look, I'm not a ball carrier. I've never carried a ball in my entire life. In a shocking development, no one ever let the center tote the rock. That's never happened.
When you guys carry it, and it does happen from time to time, us fans, I just want you to know, us fans, all we're waiting for is an instant fumble.
Yes.
And it's shocking.
Yes.
Because you don't have, usually you're all taped up.
You're all taped up and you're kind of carrying it loose and you just know. That's why I appreciate when a big guy has the ball, when they just wrap it up with two arms and they understand
and go down.
And they just go down.
Yeah.
Or you kind of, you're rumbling a little bit, but you know you're not like hucking. Like you're not trucking. You hold on to that thing. But you see it across the league, man. This is, and you see it in college football. Everyone is coming for this ball now with these punch outs. And the Derrick Henry one, this one, dude, I understand that you can be critical of Derrick Henry, but when someone comes from behind and you don't see him, you don't feel him, and he's not trying to tackle you, he's just punching at the football, I don't know what you want a running back to do. Sometimes the guy just makes a great play. There was one, Stevenson had it with the Patriots, where he was going in, the dude's like vertical. Right. And he's going down to the ground. He's at the goal line. He wasn't extending the ball. He's just in a sea of bodies as he's going down. And I think it was Cam Hayward or might have been Peyton Wilson. One of the Steelers, as he's going to the ground, he just gives it the like a right hook. Like it just jabs that sucker and the ball pops out. I don't know as a running back what you're expected to do. Because we all have this, well, no one should ever fumble. You try to be in a sea of human beings, and you're trying to see everything going on. And look at Derrick Henry. He had the ball. He had the 3 points of contact. He just came from behind and punched it out.
He's got to hold on to it.
So some of that, to me, isn't Derrick Henry with a fumbling problem. Two of the three fumbles were just perfectly executed, and sometimes the other guy makes a play.
He got burglared.
He didn't get burglared.
Is Henry going to have to carry a ball around all week? Like the guy in, what was that, the program?
The program, yeah.
God, I hate that crap.
And have guys
love that movie
constantly.
Of course,
like,
you do.
His kids going after the ball, his wife, all his teammates
in the lecture hall.
Yeah. Stumbling down the stairs, diving on the ball.
The worst part is movies like that and Rudy give people the idea that that is like how.
That's what I'd do if I were John Harbaugh.
Yeah, you mean every long-haired linebacker isn't just shooting up in the locker room, ruining their lives?
Like we're
you
on
tell
the,
me that's not true.
And like people are like, is that sort of trash talk? No. No left tackle is sitting there singing to his defensive end as he's going up to the line and be like, I'm coming for... No, you're busy with something else. Although, did you hear Myles Garrett? Did you hear any of that?
No.
Miles Garrett, there's a great clip out there. Miles Garrett has this little, I've never seen anyone do it. It's this little, it's like a Euro jump step that he beats offensive tackles with. It's the most insane thing because he's the best defensive player in the world. He comes off the ball like he's going to bull rush you, and then he has this weird little jump step, and he just blows like the tackle doesn't have a chance. He doesn't even lay a hand on
him. I'm watching it right now, and pre-snap, he's almost like he's dribbling between his legs with a basketball, yeah. And then he has like an Allen Iverson crossover.
I don't know what that is, nor do I know if you're an offensive tackle, what you do, because if you set inside and you wait for that, he is going to run your ass over. And so he beats that tackle on that play against the Packers. And I guess the Packers tackle, I guess you can, Miles is telling people about it. As Garrett's running by him, the tackle turns and goes, Jordan, run! He's yelling at Jordan Love to run. That is great, like on-field sound. Jordan, run!
Do you remember the Peyton Manning mid-play hot mic where he got mad at Donald Brown? He goes, damn it, Donald! As he's like running, like not yep. doing the pass pro.
I have never heard an offensive lineman turn and just tell his quarterback, run! I didn't get him! Run! And Miles Garrett comes off the field and is just laughing his ass off, retelling.
I'm sorry, I want to run.
Garrett said all he knew is he just heard from behind him. He heard the tackle yell, Jordan, run. And I was like, dude, I don't even know what you do when you're blocking guys like that. And that's the other thing about some of like these fumbles and stuff. Dude, defenses are just some of the schemes that people are running and some of these athletes that are out there. Defense is caught up to good offense, and there's just some dude, there's some dudes playing over there.
Who you got, Ravens or Chiefs?
I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah, they're favored.
I think was it two and a half?
2.5. It's in Kansas City.
First time, by the way, in the Pat Mahomes era, they've been underdogs in two straight games.
Yeah, they don't look as good.
There are fundamental things broken with the Chiefs. The Ravens, I'm concerned about the defense. I don't think it's great. I think maybe the way they're constructed has been wonky. I think they've kind of done a piss poor job of addressing that. But their offense is fine. They just, you know, they had one of those nights where I thought Detroit played a great game plan. And I mean, up until the that was a back and forth heavyweight fight. And then it kind of slipped away there at the end on the one mistake. And then they couldn't get a stop.
All right, we've got a quarterback benched. And another coach relinquishing play calling duties. It's going well in these two spots. We'll get to those items next on NFL Today. But first, here's Buck.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big college football news today as Mike Gundy has been fired and the Heisman favorite is having surgery. We will get to those items coming up in a little segment we're going to call College Football Tuesday Toot Toots.
The toots.
But NFL today, it only took three games, so we were right about that.
Mm-hmm.
One of which was historically good,
yeah,
and yet Russell Wilson still benched mm-hmm. in New York. It is Jackson Dart time.
And this is kind of the scary thing. I've said this a million times. I hate when regimes that are hanging by a thread are allowed to develop a quarterback. Like, Jackson Dart is not ready to play by all accounts. If he was, he would be the starter. And the offensive line is dreadful. There's real problems there. But they're going to throw him to the wolves because what else are you going to do? Dable's going to get his ass fired. The GM's going to get fired. So ready or not, here comes Jackson Dart. and you're going to play him. He's going to get his teeth kicked in, and then they're going to fire everyone, and then he gets to go through and learn an entire new system and try to do it next year. And by the way,
like, it does seem like that's the it seems like that is how this thing, these things go.
Yeah. And it's just
almost like every time.
Yeah, it's like every time, which is why I said, like,
you want to see a schedule? Do you have a schedule?
Yeah. And this is
bad.
Exactly. I mean, it's going to be bad. And it's going to be bad this week, which is, again,
so he's getting the Chargers this week.
Yes.
Then he plays the Saints.
See, why not wait and play him against the Saints?
Then he gets the Eagles, Broncos, Eagles again, Niners, all good defenses.
Yes.
Then he gets the Bears, but then the Packers and Lions.
Yeah. Dude, he's Jackson Dart.
So some really good defenses he'll have to play.
It's this idea, can you ruin a guy, or do you play him and all experience is good experience? Trey Aikman got his teeth kicked in, Peyton Manning, and we've seen it, rough goes. But they are not fundamentally set up for success. Their game plan is trash. The O-line, and I know Andrew Thomas came back a little bit last week. It didn't play the whole game, but, I mean, that certainly helps, but they don't have much of a running game. You know, I know everyone's saying the Scataboo had like 60 yards, but most of that was against a light box because they played the Giants in that game against the Chiefs. I saw this from advanced analytics. The Chiefs played cover two, like basically like over half the snaps. It's like unheard of. Basically saying against the Giants, we don't believe that you can do anything against us. And if you want to run the ball for 60 yards, be my guest. So, like, that can even be an illusion that the Giants looked like maybe they found something in the run game. No, they didn't. The Chiefs were just willing to let you run the ball for 60 yards. Ooh, because they didn't believe that you could actually move down the field. The Giants' only offense at this point is to throw the ball deep, and unless you're a horrific defense like the Cowboys, they can't figure that out. Your offense goes absolutely nowhere. And so that's my concern is you're putting Jackson Dart in against good defenses. When you don't even, you have a bad offensive line, no real run game to speak of unless teams are letting you run the ball. And now we're going to, we're going to see, and I hope that Jackson Dart isn't just thrown to the wolves here for the sake of Brian Daboll and company needing to save their jobs.
They still have Jameis Winston too.
Yes.
People forget that.
But again, Jameis won't save anyone's job. Daboll is at the point now where if he gets blown out by the Chargers or the Eagles, he's going to, like, one of these. If this turns into if he loses 41, the saving grace against Kansas City was only 22-9, right? If he loses a game 38-3 or 41-6, he's fired. He's going to get tarmacked. And so, you know what, and by the way, Jameis may give you more of that Cowboys performance, but Jameis is also capable of throwing four picks and losing that game, kind of what we saw with Cincinnati and Minnesota, which is why they're just going to say, hey, let's see what Jackson Dart has, and maybe he can provide a little bit of spark, maybe provide some hope for us, and we can sell ownership on the idea of give us another year to develop our young quarterback.
What happens with Mr. Unlimited? Is he out of there?
He's done.
I mean, Unlimited.
Don't you think a Cincinnati or a...
I guess.
I don't know, maybe New Orleans or something would... you can get him for pennies on the dollar.
Why?
Well, why not? Because you have Rattler and...
I mean, I guess if you want to bring someone, if you want him to bring a backup, but at this point, again, I go back. The way teams play you will speak volumes about what they think of you. And when you look at what the Commanders did and you look at what the Chiefs did, which is why it's so staggeringly stupid what the Dallas Cowboys did. I mean, remember when the Lions, the only offense that the Giants had was to just throw the ball deep, and the Cowboys kept letting them run by their safeties. It's just, it's unbelievable. So all teams are doing against Russell Wilson now, the only thing that Russ has is the deep ball. And so all teams are doing now is playing way the hell off in their cover two shell and saying, you can't throw the ball underneath against us. You can't throw the ball on time. We're not worried at all about you running on us. And this is kind of one of the reasons why Sean Payton ended up getting rid of him. He's kind of become a one-trick pony. And when you take that away, there's nothing else that really works. So, I mean, I guess if you're Cincinnati, do you think bringing him in at this point and playing him above Jake Browning and trying to learn that system in the span of 2 or 3 weeks, I just think this signals the end of Russ as a starter in the NFL. If he wants to be a backup, I'm sure there's a place where he can go be a backup. I'm just not certain that he's willing to, if he's willing to accept that role. But this is the death blow of Russell Wilson as a starter, and let his legacy be whatever it is.
Another place where things are going swimmingly is Tennessee.
Yeah.
Where Brian Callahan, their coach, is 3-17. And today he relinquished play calling duties to his quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
A guy by the name of Bo Hardigree,
mm-hmm.
who cites his biggest play-calling influences as David Cutcliffe and Adam Gase.
Nice.
So, buckle up, Cam Ward.
Again, speaking of someone that was allowed to develop a quarterback, and we'll see. Hey, I'll say this. I like what Cam Ward is.
He'll be a good pro.
I think I like what Cam Ward's bringing to the table. He just doesn't have a chance.
I just feel like you might... You know, everybody's talking about McDaniel and Daboll as the first coach fired in the NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the latest odds. You might take a look at Callahan.
I could see that.
Dude, they're terrible.
Yes.
And they're making mistakes. They had to delay a game right out of a timeout, I think.
They're having really kind of rookie-style issues for a guy who's been there in their second
year. He's getting booed. And so if you think that, you know, you like this young quarterback, you don't want...
No.
I mean, you don't want... him learning under Callahan for any more games than he has to.
No.
Right? You don't just let him finish out the season. You make a move. So, on your first coach fired list, I haven't seen the odds. Wherever Callahan is might not be a bad play. The guy's terrible.
Yeah.
He's won 3 games there.
And they're off to an 0-3 start. And,
3!
And they're in a very manageable division. And
they're terrible.
The only thing is, like...
I mean, Denver tried to hand him a game and they didn't want it.
They've got the Texans, Cardinals, Raiders, and Patriots. Like... I understand that Tennessee is not very good, but my God, there's wins there on the board if you'll just pull your head out of your
arse. Well, they're not going to beat Houston.
I'm not so
sure. They're not going to beat Arizona. Who else was on there?
The Raiders and the Patriots. There's bad teams.
Where are the Raiders and Patriots games?
The Patriots at home, Raiders cards on the road. Actually, the next three are on the road. Texans, Cardinals, and Raiders. They're on the road.
That's 0-6. They could maybe snip the... The Patriots.
The Patriots aren't good, and neither are the Raiders.
No, but that doesn't mean that. Dude, have you watched Tennessee play?
I've watched.
They are so bad.
I've watched the Raiders play.
I know, but listen.
Buck pointed this
out. Houston's not any good either. Houston's going to beat Tennessee.
I saw this. Me and Buck were talking about this off the air. Ashton Gentry is catching some heat from Raider fans. Of all the backs, I think there's like 25 or 27 of them that actually have enough carries to, like, you know, kind of qualify. They're actually, you know, the... You can't do it with someone that's had 3 carries. So basically starting running backs, getting to start a running back load. There's only one back in the league that has negative yards before contact. And that's Ashton Gentry. Their blocking is so bad. And I feel bad because when you go and you watch, if you do the NFL.com service where you can actually see the game film, and you I don't know what the Raiders are doing up front.
Well, I don't know what he can do about it because he can't get any momentum going, and he's getting hit in the backfield all the time.
It is a comedy of errors from their offensive line. And so, yes, Ashton Gentry has not been good. The rookie, a lot of the rookie backs and offensive players haven't necessarily been lighting the world on fire, but that ain't on Ashton Gentry. And I don't know if that's getting any better anytime soon. The Giants are not good, which again then leaves Geno Smith to play hero ball. And I like Geno Smith. Geno Smith ain't saving anyone playing hero ball.
You mean the Raiders?
Yeah,
you
the Raiders.
The Giants.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, the Raiders.
I still bet they beat Titans. Everybody, dude, Titans are going to be 0-6.
It's possible. Patriots aren't any good either.
So our college football Tuesday toot toots coming up.
Whoops.
As the coaching carousel turns, another one bites the dust today. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Well, it's over for Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State. They turfed him today. They said that they gave him the opportunity to announce his retirement and coach out the season, but he said, screw you. Give me my money. I don't want to retire.
I was right under the assumption that they were going to try to do the mutual parting of ways, and they even said in the first statement that there was a mutual parting of ways, and then Gundy's like, nope.
I want to coach.
You don't want me to clearly, coach some money, please.
He clearly did not want to coach. He was great there. Yes. And it should not get lost how good of a job he did. Mm-hmm. He was better than Les Miles there. He was better than Jimmy Johnson there. He's probably the best coach they've ever had.
He is.
And he only had two losing seasons, his very first season and his last season, in terms of complete seasons. They're 1-2 this year. But he won 10 or more games 7 times. So he was very good. But NIL was his demise. I mean, he did not embrace that.
Nope.
And it got him killed. Nope. Now, other coaches have a little more class and just bow out, you know, like Sabes.
Yeah.
And there have been many. There have been a ton in basketball, too. Nope. But Gundy, he just didn't approach it that way. He's like, fine, I'll just keep going. I don't give a rip.
Dabo's going down this road, right, where he's being defiant about it.
Yeah, and, but Dabo, you know, at least, like, I mean, they were good last year.
Yeah. Well,
and they're going to owe him way too much money to ask him to retire.
Yeah.
Well, and Dabo, I mean, even with Dabo's flaws in terms of him embracing or lack of embrace of the new system, Clemson doesn't want to fire him, do they?
I don't think so. I mean, they're 1-3. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, I mean, if it ends up being a disastrous season, you may have to look at it. But Dabo's a good, like,
yes, he is.
He's not in Gundy territory. Like, Gundy has just absolutely lost. I mean, it's just all gone. Like, he has no good players.
No.
I mean, he used to have, dude, those teams used to be loaded. They would have quarterback after quarterback after quarterback, receiver after receiver after receiver, and he hasn't done anything.
Yeah, 7-6, 7-6, 4-7,
yeah.
And now whatever this disaster is. So it's
it feels like he refuses to play the game.
Well, and you know, I think the resource thing hurt him too. And he loves to talk about that. By the way, real quick, did you happen to see Jimmy Rogers, the coach up at Washington State?
Yeah, I think we have that.
I loved.
I don't know if we have it in the system.
Buck,
Let me see.
Let's see if we can pull it.
So Jimmy Rogers, after the Apple Cup, unfortunately, and it drives me crazy, did the resource thing. You know, well, you know, we don't have what they have over there, and so the next day he came back for a press conference and he said this.
You know, if there's one thing I regret from Saturday, it's the comments in here. Nobody brought me in here to make excuses about things that we don't have, and I see a soundbite. Everything's a soundbite about my comments that I made. They brought me in here to help create a winning program. I need to do that and keep my mindset on that and not complain about things that in the moment I don't control. I control the attitude of this football team, and we got to get ready to play our best football. It's easy to make excuses, and everything I've said to the team, I've become hypocritical on what I say when I say things like that. And so more than anything, I probably apologize to the Cougar fans and the administration as far as, you know, that even coming out of my mouth, because nobody cares. And I've said it before, nobody's going to save us right now. We got to save ourselves. We got to commit to the process. We got to compete. We got to find a certain level of focus and passion to step on the field with and compete. And we're not going to stop trying. I promise you that. And play with a certain level of grit to keep us in games and then try to close people out in the fourth quarter. What we don't have is an excuse on why we played the way we did. We had the opportunity to win a game. We didn't. And we need to learn from it, grow from it, let it sting because it's stung, and we got to get better.
Amen. Exactly.
That was great.
In the last 3 years, every freaking year, Mike Gundy, since he went 7-6, 7-6, and then the 4-7, dude, there's 1,000 clips of that guy talking about the resources and we don't have this and we don't have that. And then, you know, getting ready to go play Oregon, you know, he talks about that. And it's just at some point, Mike, shut up or don't do it.
Well, yeah, it's like, cry about resources or do the best with what you have.
Yeah, this is the world you're living in. But this idea that the world was changing and you don't like it, therefore you bitch and moan about it. And Dabo does a little bit of this. And again, it kind of drives
me nuts. We spend to win.
I just don't have respect for people that cry about that stuff, because we all agree, like, yeah, it may be unfair and it sucks that you're in this position, but no one is making you be in this position. You're getting paid like $7 or $8 million.
Well, and that's why I didn't want to retire.
Exactly.
But can I also point out, this conversation always bugs me because it has always been this way.
Yeah. Well, but I think the idea is you didn't, how do I say this? What you needed to compete back in the day, as far as underground payments, the idea was that for a couple million bucks, maybe $1 or $2 million, you could put together a pretty, a pretty competitive team. But now that it's above board, it ain't $1 or $2 million anymore. The good guys between revenue sharing and NIL, they're spending $40, $45, $50 million. And then the transfer portal is the other killer, is that it used to be that you could kind of grow and develop and you could have that. But nowadays, it's harder, because if you do grow and develop, someone else can come take your player, and then it's hard for you to kind of keep that roster. So it's harder for these schools to do it. And so, again, it got harder. You don't like it because you're not in an advantageous situation. Therefore, instead of doing something about it or trying to be innovative or creative, you cry, you bitch, you moan, and then you're like, well, it's not really my fault. And I just have no time for that. Not when you're getting paid millions of dollars and you're supposed to be a Hall of Fame coach.
I don't know if it's harder. I think it is for some kids, because they have their hands out. It's all about money and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Oklahoma State is not a school that's ever really been in those waters.
No.
Right? So why is it hard? It's not harder. It's just different. And he's not adapting. We just talked last week about the Brett Bielema story. Now, I know they just got their ass kicked by Indiana.
Yeah.
But Brett Bielema, give me the difference between Oklahoma State and Illinois.
I would say that Oklahoma State has a better resource program. Except now,
well, they had T Boone.
They had T Boone, and it's been a better program. The difference now is
easier schedule.
The difference now is that Illinois gets Big Ten payments, and Oklahoma State does not. But that doesn't necessarily hasn't really affected them the last 2 years.
Yeah, I just feel like those two programs, pretty good comparison.
Yes. Yeah.
Brett Bielema, his answer to this was, "Hey, man, I got to retain my players." You said, it's harder to retain your players. That's maybe the one thing that is different. But it's Illinois has never been able to compete against Ohio State.
No.
And
Oklahoma State doesn't compete against Texas.
Exactly. And they didn't even compete against their in-state rival.
No.
I mean, Gundy could never beat Oklahoma. He was like 4-15 against Oklahoma. Yeah. So there's always been an imbalance. It's no different. It's just, it is different. It's no harder. It's just different. You have to adapt.
Yeah.
And Mike Gundy has not done that. What Bielema said was, you know what I did to retain my players, and they retained the most players of any team in the Big Ten, 16.
Yep.
He said, I got through to their moms.
Yep.
I make a special point to bring the moms into the program. I keep in touch with them on a sometimes daily, mostly weekly basis. I have practices for them. I have events for them. I make it feel like when they're, he said some kids are all about the money, and that's just, they're probably not coming to Illinois.
Yeah.
Okay. Same with Mike Gundy. So what do you do for the kids that are willing to come to Illinois or Oklahoma State? Mm-hmm. You adapt. And that's what Brett Bielema has done. And all Mike Gundy has done is bitch.
Yeah.
And it's kind of embarrassing, but gets a bunch of money to walk away, whatever.
And you need to be innovative. If what you're doing isn't working anymore with the players you have, you got to start thinking outside of the box.
That's what I mean by adapt.
Yeah.
And everybody's done it.
Yeah.
It's just some do it better than others. That's really it.
And I believe Mike Gundy knew 2 years ago that this was the way that this was going. And I don't think he really did anything to stop it.
No.
I think he just kind of leaned into it and was like, this is the way I do things. F you. Yep. And if you want me out of here, fire my ass.
I think that's right. I think you can tell that's what he's done.
Yeah.
And he knew, he knew that this would be the way it would end up.
Yeah.
And he has a built-in excuse for it.
Yes.
You know, he's going to write a book or something.
100%.
Or, you know.
Yeah. And he'll talk about, it's start unfair.
Start a podcast.
Yeah.
He's a pretty entertaining dude. All those years,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people who know him say he was a lot of fun down there.
Yeah,
but boy, towards the end,
yeah,
he just got real defiant and, well, and obnoxious.
We in almost every aspect of life, whether you're a musician, we all know the band that we grew up loving, and then you get to about that seventh album and you're like, ooh. Quentin Tarantino, by the way, is getting ready to retire. He said he only wants to make 10 films because he says that when you look at a great director's work, normally you get to 11, 12, 13. Movies aren't that good anymore, right? And this is just, and it's true. Like, we all lose our fastball at some point. Mike Francesa at one point was like the number one thing in sports radio. And you watch Mike Francesa now and you're just like, oh my God, how was this at one point the best in our industry? But he was. And I just think some of it is age, some of it's the unwillingness to evolve, but it just happens. It happens to most, and the way you handle it speaks volumes. And Mike Gundy saw where this was going, saw what was happening to him, and refused to try to fight against the dying light, and just was like, whatever.
Well, he threw his hands up.
Yeah, and when you do that, this is it goes from. It goes from some sort of graceful ending to kaplunk, and that's where
also,
we're at. He'll never blame himself.
May I also throw out, is there a way that they could find, somehow they could cut out the reporters banging on laptops in these press conferences?
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
That wasn't great.
Clicks.
Isn't that annoying to you?
It kind of sounds like somebody, one of the reporters was like doing it on their phone and the person next to him was typing. That's what it almost felt like.
Yeah. The other one,
I hear that a lot.
The other one that someone threw out, and I think this is good too, and coaches love to do this. Even Saban did this. The throw shade at your own boosters. The old, you guys need to be better. It's not my fault. We need more money, and if you want us to be better, don't expect me to be better until you give me more money. And if you, it's government, right? Yeah, our schools suck or our roads suck, but man, if you just give me more money, I can solve this problem. And that is true. That's the other one. A lot of these coaches, when things start going wrong, they start pointing fingers. Billy Napier did this last year in Florida, right? Well, it's so-and-so in the basement, you know, and he's the one, the negativity in the program. And, you know, we need to dig deep. And, you know, you want this program to be successful. You look at yourself and you start donating money. No one ever wants to actually look at themselves and say, what can I do better? It's as simple as saying, well, I don't have Ohio State money. I don't have Texas money. I don't have Oregon money. Therefore, you can't expect me to be any better than I am because I don't have that.
You know, I hope we elect to kick ass.
And you need to give me that. Otherwise, don't expect me to do good things.
All right, we have some candidates that have emerged for Oklahoma State. We'll get to that. And very big news, the top favorite for the Heisman Trophy is going to be out a while. We'll get to that coming up next in our College Football Tuesday Toot Toots on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.